look at verses 1 through 7 today. Isaiah chapter 5, and we will begin our reading with verse 1. Please follow along in your Bible as I read. If you need a Bible, there is one in the pew right in front of you. And so let's read together, and you follow as I read, beginning with verse 1, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with a choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no more rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry. Let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts today. Our Father, we're so grateful that we have this chance to open your wonderful word and to learn more of your truth. We ask that your Holy Spirit will so work in our lives that you will change us into fruitful people, that we would not be barren, that our lives would not be empty, but that you, Lord, would do a great work in us and through us. Work in every Christian and work in the lives of those in our midst that don't have Christ. May they receive him today as their Lord and Savior. I ask all of this in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I am one who loves fruit. As a matter of fact, in the morning I like to eat fruit. The Bible does talk about the first fruits, right? So fruit in the morning is pretty good for you. I have up here some grapes, a big cluster of grapes. I hope I'm not making you hungry. But I enjoy eating grapes. Matter of fact, grape juice has to be my most favorite drink. These grapes are seedless and tasty and juicy. Now you ready? But as we think about the grapes and the fruit that the Lord has blessed us to eat, did you know that God wants to produce fruit in your life? That God wants to produce fruit in my life? The Lord created us for a reason. God put us upon this earth for a purpose. And that purpose was that we would produce, that we would produce fruit. Now the Lord saved a nation. He pulled that nation out of bondage in Egypt. He brought that nation through a barren wilderness and provided manna for them. He protected that nation from all of their enemies. He brought that nation into a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And God provided for the nation of Israel. He blessed them with the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He blessed them with descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. He provided for that nation His law, the Old Testament covenant. He gave the nation of Israel all that they needed. And yet that nation went into that promised land of Canaan and ended up turning her back upon God. God wanted that people to be a fruitful people. He wanted the nation of Israel to be a blessing to all the other nations upon the earth. But that nation turned away from God, enjoyed the blessings of God, but forgot the God of the blessings, and turned to idols, and turned to immorality, which is the result of idolatry. And as a result of their rebellion, God said, I'm going to judge you by sending the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, the people from Iraq, who would come and conquer that people in 586 BC. And that is what the book of Isaiah is emphasizing, that judgment is coming to Israel. God blessed that nation, but yet that nation turned her back on the wonderful God who had redeemed them from the house of bondage. But you know, as I think about that, I think about our lives, how we too are like the nation of Israel, how we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. We have provision. We have blessing. We have safety, at least right now. God has given us opportunities. God has given us privileges. But yet oftentimes God looks for fruit, but He finds rotten fruit or no fruit at all. And so today I would like to talk to you about the parable of the vineyard, found here in Isaiah chapter 5. And the Bible says, in the key verse as I read this chapter, I believe is God's question, where God says in Isaiah chapter 5 in verse 4, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? In other words, God asked the question, what more could I have done? I've done it all. I gave it all. I blessed you. And yet you did not produce good fruit. You notice in our chapter here, God describes His provision for a fruitful vineyard. Beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. God said, I provided for a vineyard. The Lord's vineyard was one that was planted with love. That's why Isaiah, as he writes this in the form of a song, this would have been sung in the Hebrew language, God says, through Isaiah, I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. Here Isaiah describes God as a God to be loved, a beloved God, a God of love, a God to be loved, for God is love. One of the greatest attributes of God is His love. He loves you. He loves me. He loved Israel. He loved the nation that He had planted. He planted that people in love. He planted a vineyard out of a heart of love. And despite that love, these people did not produce good fruit. Not only that, it says in verse 2 that the Lord's vineyard was planted with obstacles removed. If you notice verse 2, he says, and he fenced it, he digged it, and gathered out the stones thereof. God uprooted, that's the hard work. If you've ever done farming, you know that the difficult work comes with tilling the soil, digging out the stones. I remember about 4 years ago when we were trying to do something with a little piece of ground in our front yard. And I have no green thumb. My name is not Carl Roberts. I don't have the gift of planting flowers. That's just not my gift. But I tried. And I dug. And I got the stones out. And I dig the stones out and there'd be many more stones. It seems like there was more stones than dirt. Well, God said He removed the stones. He got rid of the obstacles so that He could plant a vine. And as He did so, He found that it did not produce, despite the fact that God prepared the soil. Not only did He love the plant that He had planted, and not only did He remove the obstacles, but the Bible says in verse 2, that He planted with the best of vine. It says that He planted it with the choicest vine. Of course, we know Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. The choicest of vines is none other than the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the true vine. The problem is, the nation of Israel rejected the Messiah. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. And the choicest of vines is in our life. And as we will see today, we need to stay close to Him if the branches are ever to produce fruit. But He planted it with the best of vine. Notice, also in verse 2, the Lord's vineyard was planted with protection provided. The Scripture says He built a tower in the midst of it. Now the reason why He built a tower is because there are a lot of thieves. And so God planted a vineyard and He built a tower which was a watchtower where a guard would stand duty and would watch over the crops. And of course, if you have ever had an apple tree or some kind of fruit tree or grapevine in your backyard, you know that there is often a tendency, unless you have a pit bull or an electric fence, sometimes people just go right in your yard and steal your fruit. I remember when I was a boy, before I became a Christian, when I was a lost young man, I used to go in to some yards. They had pears, they had apples, they had peaches. And on our way to swimming, as we would go to a pool called Osgood in New Britain, Connecticut, I would, on my way, along with some of my friends, go into the yard of somebody's house along the way, and we would steal pears or peaches or apples right off their tree. Their backyard, we just had a lot of trees. And we never got caught, although God caught us, and God convicted us. But you see, God planted a vineyard. He built a watchtower in it. He protected his vineyard. And the nation of Israel had God's protection so that the enemy could not come in and steal. And yet, despite that, they did not produce good fruit. Notice at the end of verse 2, the Bible says, he also made a wine press therein. You see, the Lord not only planted for grapes, but he planted with the result that he thought, I'm going to have grape juice. He made a wine press to press the grapes to produce freshly squeezed grape juice. God anticipated fruit. He anticipated that there would be something to produce juice. But they did not produce fruit. God had planted the vineyard with much anticipation. The Bible says at the end of verse 2, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes. God was looking for grapes. And it brought forth wild grapes. In other words, it brought forth worthless, bad fruit. I remember also as a boy when we snuck into somebody's yard, we would take apples and we'd bite into them and they were bad tasting, terrible crab apples. Perhaps you have bitten into a piece of fruit and found it to be terrible. Even recently, I bit into a peach and I threw it in the garbage because it wasn't a good peach. God was looking for good fruit. He planted the vineyard in love. He removed all the obstacles. He planted the best of vine. He protected it with a watchtower. He looked for fruit with anticipation, and all it brought forth was rotten grapes, rotten fruit. And then he asks a question. And he says, and now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. Who is in the wrong here is what God is saying. Who is at fault? Verse 4, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? God says, what more could I have done? He said, I did it all. Everything that was necessary, God said, I have done. And where's my fruit? Now, as I read this chapter, I had to think of my life and our lives at Faith Baptist Church. God has certainly done a lot in our lives, just like he did for the nation of Israel. I think about my own life. God allowed me to grow up in a home where I had a father and a mother. God allowed me to grow up and have friends and to have a school. But more than that, God sent Victor Zelinsky my way, as you know, and shared the gospel with me back in 1976. And I came to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that year. I was saved. The Lord led me to a good Bible-preaching church. My first pastor was Dr. Ralph Wingate, Jr., a wonderfully gifted preacher. I had a Sunday school teacher that cared about me, that even sent my name to all kinds of Bible colleges so that they would send me literature. I had a wonderful opportunity to grow there at Emmanuel Gospel Church from 1976 on. The Lord gave me a Bible. He allowed me to learn His Word. He gave me a wonderful job where I had gainful employment. Even at the age of 16, I was working in a company that was a probably the best company in the whole city of New Britain. God blessed me with an education. God blessed me with good friends like Pastor Martinez, who is now our Spanish pastor upstairs. and people like Paul Schwanke and Dan Lebenick, some of my good friends growing up as a youth. God blessed me with a great Bible college. I went to a Bible college in Minnesota, and there I was able to grow and flourish in my faith and learn the Word of God in a tremendous way, having professors like my good friend Doug Bookman and Ed Glennie and others that taught me the Word of God. And I was able to grow in my faith. The Lord allowed me to meet Doug Lowry and to come to New York in the summer of 1984. And it was then that I had the real blessing of ministering here at Faith Baptist Church and working in the city with my wife Terry for that summer. The Lord blessed me with a fruitful summer as we saw people saved and people come to know the Lord and give their lives to the Lord. It was a wonderful summer. Then the Lord led me to seminary, a great school in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, where I had tremendous professors who taught me again not only the Word of God, but courses like Greek exegesis and taught me how to dig into the Word of God and how to pull out truth from the Word of God, how to rightly divide the Word of truth. And God gave me a lot of blessing from Calvary Baptist Seminary in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, for which I'm thankful to this day. But then the Lord gave me the opportunity and the privilege and the blessing to become the second pastor of Faith Baptist Church, the second senior pastor here at Faith Baptist Church back in 1988. I was blessed with a core of people that some of whom are still here today. Some are here in our auditorium. Some are upstairs in the Spanish congregation. But then I think about how God has blessed our church over the years with people, as you can see if you look around, from all over the earth. People of different backgrounds and cultures and languages have been a blessing to me personally. I've been blessed with Pastor Jim Swanson and Pastor Martinez and a host of servants here like James Cherion and our deacons like Carl Roberts and Derek Holly and wonderful people in our church that serve and sing and minister. And I'll tell you, the Lord's been good to bless us with good friends. We have good friends here. The Lord has blessed me with you. Do you know the Lord has also blessed you, hasn't he? He's allowed you to come to a church where the Bible is preached, where the Bible is taught. He's allowed some of you to have your children in our Sunday school, in our Awana program, as well as the other ministries here. You've had the opportunity to attend Bible Institute. Many churches don't have a Bible Institute. You've been able to learn the Word of God on a level that is college level in many cases, and some courses seminary level. You've been able to learn. You've been able to grow. God has blessed you with the opportunity to learn the Word of God in a fellowship with the saints here at Faith Baptist Church. Some of you have grown up in our church, and you've been here for many, many years, as the young people were singing today. I was just thinking how not too long ago they were little kids, and now look at them. They're going off to college. The Lord has been good to us. He's blessed you. You think about all the blessings that God has given to you. You think about His love for you. You think about the friends He has put into your life. You think about the family you have. You think about the obstacles that He's removed from your life. How He has planted the choicest of vine, Jesus Christ, right in your life. He has protected you. He's kept you safe from the enemy. He has planted you with much anticipation of fruit. But the question we all have to answer is there fruit in our life? Are we fruitful? God blessed you in so many ways, but God is asking the question, what more could I have done? What could I have done more than I have done? God says. What else could I have done for you? I gave you my Son. I put my Holy Spirit within you. I gave you my Word. I allowed you to have a Bible-preaching church. I have put good people into your life. You have been allowed to grow and serve. What have you done? Where is the fruit? You know, there are many in our church that have been here for many years and have been a real blessing to our church. But God asked the question, where is the fruit? Many of you have been here, you've warmed a pew, you've sat through services, you've grown, you've heard, you've learned, but the question needs to be asked today, is there any fruit in your life? It's not, church is not just a matter of coming and sitting and soaking and souring. We come here so that we can learn the Word of God, so that God could produce fruit in us and through us. That's the goal. God wants fruit. Fruit that He can enjoy. Fruit that brings pleasure to His heart. God has been good to us. He's blessed you in so many ways. What more could He do? He says to Israel, I've done all of this. What more could I have done? Some of you young people in here today are rebellious against your mom and your dad. That's terrible. Because you have a mom and a dad that love you, that pray for you, that have taught you the truth, that have brought you to a Bible-preaching church, and yet you lie to them. You sneak. You commit sin against them. You talk disrespectfully to them. What more could God do? God has done so much for you, and yet look at how you treat your mom and your dad. God is looking for fruit from you young people. He's looking for fruit from all of us. And the Bible teaches us that to whomsoever much is given, what? Much is required. That's the principle that we need to derive today, is that what God has deposited in our life, and He's given us so much, God expects much. God has given us opportunities, chances to grow and to learn and to serve. And He asks the question, what more could I have done? May the Lord help us to see that I've got a talent, I've got an ability, I've got an opportunity to produce something in my life. I need to let the Lord do it. I need to surrender my life to Him so that He can start producing fruit from my life. Maybe some of you used to produce fruit. There was a time in your life where you were very fruitful. A time where you led souls to Christ. A time when you discipled people. A time where you invested in others spiritually. But what are you doing now? You should be doing more now than then, because you should have grown more. But I fear some have taken a step backwards. Some have not advanced. You know, the Apostle Paul is perhaps the most fruitful Christian that ever walked this earth. God used him to produce so many local churches and to train people for the ministry and to write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit most of our New Testament. I'd say he's the most influential Christian in the New Testament era. But you know what Paul feared? He had a genuine fear. He said, I fear lest after I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He said, I fear that after all the ministry I have done, that I would be cast away, no longer useful to God. Rendered useless, put on a shelf of no function for the kingdom of God. And Paul said, I fear that. He said, I have ministered, I have preached, I have served, but I keep under my body, he says, and I bring it into subjection, lest I should be a castaway. Do you know all of us need to fear that? We don't want to be rendered useless. We don't want to be fruitless. We don't want to meet our master empty-handed, as the hymn writer said. Must I go and empty-handed meet my Savior so? Should we go to our God without anything to show for our life? No. God wants fruit. He wants fruit in you and through you. He wants you to produce for Him. God provided for a fruitful vineyard. And he says, what more could I have done? I looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Now notice verse 5. And now go to, or in other words, listen up. And I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged. But there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. God here says there is a punishment that is coming to a fruitless vineyard. There is punishment that is coming to those who don't produce fruit. He's speaking specifically here to the nation of Israel. A nation that he planted, that he blessed, that he showered with opportunity and privilege. And yet the nation sinned against God and rebelled against the Lord and went a-whoring after idols. And so God says, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to judge you. And when God blesses a people so that they would produce, and yet they don't produce, God says in verse 5, I will remove my protection. He says, I'll tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof. God is saying, I'll take away the wall of protection, the hedge to keep out the enemy, the wall to keep out your oppressor. He says, I'll take away the hedge, and it shall be eaten up. The invader will come in and eat up the vineyard. He says, I will break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. The protective wall would be removed. And God says people will come and trample with their feet upon the vineyard. Do you know, my friends, today, God has protected you. God has kept you from the enemy. God has shielded you from Satan. If you were not protected, you would be destroyed right now. You would be totally destroyed. Your family would be destroyed. But God has protected you, and you know it. Because God has set up a wall around you. God has a hedge about you. A hedge to keep the enemy away. But yet when people who have the privilege and the ability to produce fruit do not, there may come a day where God just starts removing the wall and removing the hedge. Believers are not exempt from the attacks of Satan, my friend. I know God can deliver us, and God wants to deliver us. But if you don't respond to God's working in your life, if you refuse Jesus, if you don't want to walk with Him, then God may just start taking away some of His protection, like He did to the nation of Israel. Israel would be a safe people They were brought safely through the wilderness for 40 years, safely across the Jordan River, safely into the land of Canaan. But when they sinned, they lost the battle at Ai. But other than that, that sin of Achan, Israel was a conqueror, was a successful people that would just march through the land under Joshua. And they would just take the land. And God blessed them with safety from their enemies. But they turned away from God. And as a result, God allowed the invaders to come in. He would allow the Assyrian Empire under Sennacherib to come in to take captive the northern 10 tribes of Israel. And now the prophet Isaiah is saying to the southern Judah, you'd better take notice. You'd better see what happened to your sister up north, because the same thing is going to happen to you if you don't repent. And so God raises up the prophet Isaiah to predict doom if they don't produce. Yet they didn't. So God says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take away the protective hedge. I'm going to take down the wall. But the Bible says in verse 6, regarding the vineyard that he planted, Israel, I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. You know what God says in verse 6? I will also take away my cultivation and care. Just as a good farmer or vine dresser would take care of the vineyard by pruning it, by taking out the weeds and the thorns and the thistles, by providing adequate water for it, God says, as the sovereign one of the universe who sends the rain, God says, I'm going to stop the rain. I'm going to make it produce thorns. And I'm going to allow it to be ruined. God punishes a fruitless vineyard by no longer providing his sovereign cultivation and care. For the nation of Israel, that would occur. But you know, my friends, I speak to New Testament saints today. I believe that this principle still applies. When you rebel against God, and God wants to produce fruit through your life, and yet you stubbornly, year after year after year, don't allow God to do His work of producing fruit in your life and through your life, I believe there comes a point where God may stop the cultivation and allow some bad fruit to grow out of your life. God doesn't want to do that. God wants us to be fruitful unto every good work, as the Bible says. But I have known believers that are producing bad fruit today. At one time, they were producing good fruit. They were a blessing. Some were preachers, preacher friends I know. But they got involved in sin and didn't turn from that sin. And as a result, they're out of the ministry today selling cars. Their life is no longer fruitful. Life is rough for them. We've had people in this church turn away from God. Not apostatize. I don't believe a believer will apostatize. But people that would just become cold toward God. And as a result, it seems that their life is producing thorns instead of fruit. God wants us to be fruitful. He has made every effort that we would be fruitful people. But he says through the prophet Isaiah, I'm going to judge my fruitless vineyard. In verse 7, the Bible says, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry. God looked for right living. God looked for people that would uphold truth. God looked for justice in the land, but he found injustice. He looked for righteousness, but instead all he got was a cry, where people perhaps were pleading, God, give us justice, because there was no justice to be found. And so there would come a cry. The Lord is looking for fruit in America. You think about how God has blessed this country, how the Lord has poured out blessing upon America. And yes, at the beginning stages, this country has been very fruitful, sending out missionaries and helping people all over the earth. But nowadays, America is leading the way in terms of corruption. And as many have said, if God does not judge America, he'd owe Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. For this country has had more light, more opportunity, more blessing, materially and spiritually, and yet as a nation we have turned our back on God, and God's not going to allow this to go unpunished. Judgment day for America will come unless this country, like the nation of Israel, would repent. God said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sins and heal their land. God expects fruit. I'd like you to see, and I've got a list of verses here, 2 pages long. I'm not going to give them to you. But lists of verses dealing with fruitfulness and fruit. There's a lot of mention in the Bible about God's desire for fruit. I would like you to, I'll just show you a couple of passages, 4 passages. Go with me to a passage in Matthew chapter 21. And really, this is the ultimate fulfillment of the judgment that would befall the nation of Israel. Matthew chapter 21. The Lord Jesus walks by a fig tree, and he was hungry. He desired to eat of the fig tree, but there was a problem. Notice Matthew 21. And verse 19, Matthew 21, 19. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. The fig tree had leaves. That's interesting because leaves and figs grow out of a fig tree at the same time. When you have one, you have the other. If you have leaves, you should have figs. This tree had leaves, but no figs, no fruit. So Jesus, being the Almighty God of the universe, pronounces a curse on that fig tree, and immediately it withered up and dried up. And it shocked the disciples. How amazing is this? The power of the Lord Jesus. Notice verse 34 of this chapter. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard to other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus said to the Jews that were gathered there, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. You say, what does all of that mean? It means this. Jesus came to the nation of Israel. He did many miracles and wonders in their presence. He gave them the gospel, and they rejected him. They would eventually have him arrested, falsely tried, scourged, and then nailed to a cross. They would reject their own Messiah. But this was all part of God's sovereign plan. God knew they would do this with their wicked minds and wicked intentions, but it was all part of God's sovereign plan for the saving of the human race. But in this parable, Jesus describes people that rejected him, a nation that rejected him. God sent prophet after prophet, servant after servant. They would beat one, kill another, stone another. And last of all, he sends his son, Jesus Christ. And they kill him. What will he do to those? He will destroy them. They said it. That's exactly what happened in 70 AD. As Titus, the Roman general, would come into Jerusalem, burn the city with fire, and destroy the people of that land. And then they would be scattered all over the earth from that point until the 1940s. When they'd go back into the land. And even to this day, you read in the newspapers about all the trouble in Israel, the trouble among the people there. And I'll tell you, it's because as a nation, they've rejected the Messiah. And the fruit that could be born in their life is not there. God bless that people with intelligence, bless that people with opportunity. They use that intelligence so often for other things when they could be such a fruitful people for God. But they've rejected the Messiah. Have you rejected him? Jesus came to the fig tree and cursed it because that fig tree represented the nation of Israel. He came looking for fruit upon Israel, but found no fruit. And therefore, the nation came under the curse that won't be totally reversed until they acknowledge Jesus as Messiah. And that won't take place until the second coming, when he comes back and they look on him whom they have pierced and repent and trust Jesus as Messiah. But God is looking for fruit from his people. Go to Matthew 3, and I just want to show you a few more scriptures. Matthew chapter 3. This is what John the Baptist said. There is a fruit that should accompany repentance. Matthew 3, verse 10. John the Baptist is preaching, and he says in Matthew 3, verse 10, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. In other words, the Lord's ready to chop down the tree. The axe is already there. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now, do you see that? Every tree that it does not bring forth good fruit is going to be cut down and cast into the fire. This speaks of the fire of hell and then of the lake of fire, where the Lord is going to cut down every life that does not produce good fruit. God wants to produce in you and in me. But there are some in here that don't produce any fruit, any good fruit. You want to know why? It's because you're not saved. You've never come to repentance. You've never turned from your sin to the Savior. That is why your life is barren. There is no good fruit for God, because you don't have fruit if you don't have root. If you're not rooted in Christ, you have no ability to produce good fruit, because good fruit is the result of salvation. Bad fruit is the manifestation of no salvation. As Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, go to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 17. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Jesus says you can know a true believer by his good fruit. You can know a non-believer by his bad fruit. But by their fruits you shall know them. A person can say all he wants, I am a Christian, I believe in Christ, I have salvation. The Lord says, by their fruits you shall know them. And Paul said, you need to examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. If there is not good fruit in your life, the problem is, maybe you've never been a Christian. Maybe you've never been born again. You're not saved. Jesus wants to save you today. He brought you here today. It is no accident that you came to Faith Baptist Church today. God brought you here because he wants to produce fruit in your life. But in order for that to take place, you have to have Jesus Christ. Because only by him can any of us produce anything at all. To show that to you, go to John 15. John chapter 15. The imagery of the vineyard comes up over and over again in the Bible, many times in the Old Testament, many times in the New Testament. But John 15, verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. God sometimes has to prune us too. God has to prune us by cutting off the dead limbs that aren't producing. And as we heard sung today, God does allow trials for that purpose. God prunes his people. God purges. And then the Bible says in verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I have here a cluster of grapes, and I'm pulling on the branch. Hope it doesn't fall. Can this branch bring forth any more good fruit? No. Why not? It's cut off. It's detached. It's not joined to the vine. These branches here cannot produce any more fruit because they have been detached from the vine. In the Christian's life, Jesus is the vine. You are the branches. If you don't stay close to him, if you don't abide in him, you cannot produce fruit. Fruit only comes through Jesus Christ. Notice he says in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. God wants us to bear fruit. Go to verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. God wants to produce fruit, my friends. But the secret to fruitfulness is a close, abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. You've got to stay close to him. That means you've got to walk with him and talk with him. You've got to pray to him and keep your life clean. You've got to avoid sin and repent of sin. Stay close to Jesus, and God will produce fruit in your life. Because fruit is the result of him and him alone. It's the result of his Spirit working in you. For the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Against such there is no law. God wants to produce fruit through us, and it only comes by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Are you letting him produce fruit in you? Are you allowing him to produce fruit through you? God has given you a lot. What more could he have done? He's blessed you in so many ways. What more could he have done? Let's produce. Let's let him produce through us from now on. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we're so grateful that you have done so much. You have set a hedge about us. You have placed us on a fruitful hill. You have placed us in Jesus Christ, the true vine. You've given us your word. You've given us good friends. You've given us opportunity. You've given us sound minds, healthy bodies. You have blessed us, Lord, with so many privileges. Forgive us for not being more fruitful for you. Cleanse us of this sin of fruitlessness. Lord, I pray that all of us who are believers will abide in you, Lord Jesus, that will walk with you and talk with you, that will stay close to you every day so that you could produce fruit through our life. May there be no barren branches in this room. Lord, we thank you for your purging work and for how you do prune us so that we will produce more. But Lord, I pray that we will not be stubborn and rebellious and worldly and distracted, but may we be fruitful. May we have a life that counts, that makes an impact for eternity. Lord Jesus, please produce much and abundant fruit through the members and friends of Faith Baptist Church. And Lord, I pray that you'd save those that are not connected to you. May today be the day of their salvation as they look at their barren life or their life of bad fruit. May they ask themselves the question, are they genuinely born again? And may many turn to you today, Lord Jesus. before I conclude this prayer, how many in this room would say, that's me, Pastor Sawyer. My life is not producing good fruit, and the reason is I've never been saved. I need to be born again. I need Jesus Christ. Would you raise your hand if that's your need today, and I'll pray for you. How many would say, that's my need? God bless you, ma'am. And God bless you, sir. How many others would say, I see your hand, sir? Anybody else who would say, pray for me? I have been producing bad fruit or no fruit at all, and I need the Lord. God bless you, young lady. How many others would say, pray for me as well? Dear Father, right now I pray for those in our room that do not have that relationship with you, and as a result, their life is filled with thorns and sins. Their life is difficult and fruitless. Lord, have mercy upon their souls. May they repent of sin and come to you today, Lord Jesus, in full faith. May they cry out to you, Lord, for salvation, so that they will not perish in the fire, but have everlasting life in heaven. And Lord, I pray for all believers that right now you'll do a work in their hearts. And before I conclude this prayer, how many would say, Pastor Sawyer, my life's not fruitful like it should be. God has blessed me with privileges. I know God could not have done more than he has already done, but I'm not as fruitful as I should be. Pray for me. God bless you. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us at Faith Baptist Church to be fruitful believers, not barren and living wasted lives. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord, for working in many hearts today. I pray that there'd be much fruit that is produced because of the need that people recognize at this time. And Father, I pray that we would see fruit abiding, fruit that remains in all of our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.